Alicia.
Hi, everybody. This is Todd Young, and welcome to the call. Can everybody hear me okay? Fantastic. My name is Todd Young, Todd Nuclear Young, everybody, and welcome to this beautiful call, which is the Think and Grow Rich call. The chapter we're going to be going over today is Chapter 14, The Sixth Sense, The Door to the Temple of Wisdom. And this really is one of my favorite chapters. This particular chapter is something that's very, very clear and dear and close to my heart for the simple reason that it's something really that I practice on a daily basis. And when we go through this chapter, you know, it's going to really be an interesting, you know, conversation afterwards because, you know, all throughout my life, you know, I think that a lot of folks, you know, we go to church, we, you know, sometimes we sit and think to ourselves and, you know, a lot of people believe in miracles and we have this, you know, what we call guardian angel, you know, that we think about and you know, a lot of these folks may be, you know, relatives of ours that maybe have passed away. But, you know, you're going to see here that Napoleon Hill truly has, you know, what he calls his counselors, and which is really, the very first time I read this book, I will tell you, I just didn't get it. And it was really a really, truly profound, you know, experience in my life that when I started to meditate, and I meditate on in a very simple way, by the way, I just really sit and think. And that is that, you know, thoughts come into my mind that, you know, I certainly absolutely never used to pay attention to. But after reading this book, I absolutely started to really pay attention to these thoughts that started coming into my mind. And then when I read this book and read this particular chapter, this, you know, my counselors, I talk with Paul a lot about, you know, my counselors. And I also want to thank Paul Hutchings for calling me. And, you know, last night I know that Paul is, you know, going and taking his family to a very beautiful part of the world. And he asked if I would host this call. And I said, absolutely. I am really looking forward to hosting this particular call and reading this chapter. So, again, you know, I personally want to thank Mr. Paul Hutchings for, let me see here. One moment here, folks. I want to thank Mr. Paul Hutchings for having me host this call. So let's go ahead and get started. I am very, very excited, and this is The Sixth Sense, the Door to the Temple of Wisdom. The 13 Steps Towards Riches. The 13th principle is known as the Sixth Sense, from which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles. The sixth sense is that portion of the subconscious mind which has been referred to as the creative imagination. It has also been referred to as the receiving set through which ideas, plans, and thoughts flash into the mind. The flashes are sometimes called hunches or inspirations. The sixth sense defies description. It cannot be described to as a person who has not mastered the other principles of this philosophy. Because such a person has no knowledge and no experience with which the sixth sense may be compared. Understanding of the sixth sense comes only by meditation through mind development from within. The sixth sense probably is the median of contact between the infinite mind of man and infinite intelligence. And for this reason, it is a mixture of both the mental and the spiritual. It is believed to be the point at which the mind of man contacts the universal mind. After you have mastered the principles described in this book, you will be prepared to accept as truth a statement which may otherwise be incredible to you. Namely, through the aid of the sixth sense, you will be warned of impending dangers in time to avoid them and notified of opportunities in time to embrace them. There comes to your aid and to do your bidding with the development of the sixth sense a guardian angel who will open to you at all times the door to the temple of wisdom. Whether or not this is a statement of truth, you will never know, except by following the instructions described in the pages of this book, or some similar method of procedure. The author is not a believer in nor an advocate of miracles, for the reason that he has enough knowledge of nature to understand that nature never deviates from her established laws. Some of her laws are so incomprehensible that they produce what appear to be miracles. The sixth sense comes as near to being a miracle as anything I have ever experienced, and it appears so only because I do not understand the method by which this principle is operated. This much the author does know, that there is a power, or a first cause, or an intelligence which permeates every atom of matter and embraces every unit of energy perceptible to man, that this infinite intelligence converts acorns into oak trees, causes water to flow downhill in response to the law of gravity, follows night with day and winter with summer, each maintaining its proper place and relationship to the other. This intelligence may, through the principles of this philosophy, be induced to aid in transmuting desire into concrete or material form. The author has this knowledge because he has experimented with and has experienced it. Step by step, through the preceding chapters, you have been led to this, the last principle. If you have mastered each of these preceding principles, you are now prepared to accept, without being skeptical, the stupendous claims made here. If you have not mastered the other principles, you must do so before you may determine definitely whether or not the claims made in this chapter are fact or fiction. While I was passing through the age of hero worship, I found myself trying to imitate those whom I most admired. Moreover, I discovered that the element of faith with which I endeavored to imitate my idols gave me great capacity to do so quite successfully. I have never entirely divested myself of this habit of hero worship, although I have passed the age commonly given over to such. My experience has taught me that the next best thing to being truly great is to emulate the great by feeling and action as nearly as possible. Long before I had ever written a line for publication or endeavored to deliver a speech in public, I followed the habit of reshaping my own character by trying to imitate the nine men whose lives and life works had been most impressive to me. The nine men were Emerson, Paine, Edison, Darwin, Lincoln, Burbank, Napoleon, Ford, and Carnegie. Every night over a long period of time, I held an imaginary council meeting with this group whom I called my invisible counselors. The procedure was this. Just before going to sleep at night, I would shut my eyes and see, in my imagination, this group of men seated with me around my council table. Here I had not only an opportunity to sit among those whom I considered to be great, but I actually dominated the group by serving as the chairman. I had a very definite purpose in indulging my imagination through these nightly meetings. My purpose was to rebuild my own character so it would represent a composite of the characters of my imaginary counselors. Realizing, as I did early in life, that I had to overcome the handicap of birth in an environment of ignorance and superstition, I deliberately assigned myself the task of voluntarily rebirth through the method here described. Building character through autosuggestion. Being an earnest student of philosophy or psychology, I knew, of course, that all men have become what they are because of their dominating thoughts and desires. I knew that every deeply seated desire has the effect of causing one to seek outward expression through which that desire may be transmuted into reality. I knew that self-suggestion is a powerful factor in building character, that it is, in fact, the sole principle through which character is rebuilt. Very important sentence. With this knowledge of the principles of mind operation, I was fairly well armed with the equipment needed in rebuilding my character. In these imaginary council meetings, I called on my cabinet members for the knowledge I wished each to contribute addressing myself to each member in audible words as follows. Mr. Emerson, I desire to acquire from you the marvelous understanding of nature, which distinguished your life. I ask that you make an impression upon my subconscious mind of whatever qualities you possessed, which enabled you to understand and adapt yourself to the laws of nature. I ask that you assist me in reaching and drawing upon whatever sources of knowledge are available to this end. Mr. Burbank, I request that you pass on to me the knowledge which enabled you to so harmonize the laws of nature that you caused the cactus to shed its thorns and become an edible food. Give me access to the knowledge which enabled you to make two blades of grass grow where but only one grew before, and helped you to blend the coloring of the flowers which, with more splendor and harmony, for you alone have successfully gilded the lily. Napoleon, I desire to acquire from you, by emulation, the marvelous ability you possessed to inspire men and to arouse them to greater and more determined spirit of action. Also to acquire the spirit of enduring faith, which enabled you to turn defeat into victory and to surmount staggering obstacles. Empower the fate, emperor of fate, king of chance, man of destiny, I salute you. Mr. Paine, I desire to acquire from you the freedom of thought and the courage and clarity from which to express convictions which so distinguished you. Mr. Darwin, I wish to acquire from you the marvelous patience and ability to study cause and effect without bias or prejudice, so exemplified by you in the field of natural science. Mr. Lincoln, I desire to build into my own character the keen sense of justice, the untiring spirit of patience, the sense of humor, the human understanding, and the tolerance, which were your distinguishing characteristics. Mr. Carnegie, I am already indebted to you for my choice of a life work which has brought me great happiness and peace of mind. I wish to acquire a thorough understanding of the principles of organized effort, which you used so effectively in the building of a great industrial enterprise. Mr. Ford, you have been among the most helpful of the men who have supplied much of the material essential to my work. I wish to acquire your spirit of persistence and determination, poise, and self-confidence, which have enabled you to master poverty, organize, unify, and simplify human effort, so I may help others to follow in your footsteps. Mr. Edison, I have seated you nearest to me, at my right, because of the personal cooperation you have given me during my research into the causes of success and failure. I wish to acquire from you the marvelous spirit of faith, which you have uncovered so many of nature's secrets, the spirit of unremitting toil with which you have so often wrested victory from defeat. My method of addressing the members of the imaginary cabinet would vary according to the traits of character in which I was, for the moment, most interested in acquiring. I studied the records of their lives and painstaking care. After some months of this nightly procedure, I was astounded by the discovery that these imaginary figures became apparently real. I'm going to go ahead and end that part of the chapter right there, folks. Again, you can see that by reading just this part of this particular chapter, how important this is to have really to help rebuild your mind and to rebuild your life by having and hanging around successful people, not only physically in life, but hanging around successful people in your imaginary council and in your mind. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and hit star 5 and unmute this line. And please, I would love to hear everybody's thoughts. Please go ahead and hit star 6, unmute yourself. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Melvin, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks,
good job,
sir.
Young man.
Thank
Yeah, I just wanted to say that basically what we're doing is we're kind of like a radio station and a radio. I mean, if you tune in and you set your mind properly through frequency, you are locking into those elements and those sources. And that's what you can do to build yourself up, to grow, to move forward. And just the opposite is true if you're unaware of this and you're about the business of thinking negative thoughts and fearful thoughts and doubtful thoughts. That's what you're going to be drawing to yourself. So these principles are at work, and this science is at work, and this is always taking place. It's just a matter of, are you going to control it? Are you going to develop and become who you wish to become, more in aligned with those people you are speaking of, or am I going to be neglectful and allow all these negative elements and things to come in and control and run my life because of me not being responsible? So it's a good thing to understand and go to work on. Back to you.
Melvin, thank you very much for those very beautiful thoughts. You said something very important there with the words that you just said, and that was through the frequency of thought. And, you know, having that receiving station and that transmitting station, this is part of that transmitting station and receiving station that we talked about in the previous chapter. And very intelligent, very wise to say, Melvin, because that is exactly what is at work here. And this is the science through work of your mind transmitting in your mind at night, right before you go to bed, to talk to your imaginary counselors. And it's important also to have these imaginary counselors to be very successful people that you've either experienced in your life or that you've read about and heard about in your life. So very good thoughts, Melvin. Thank you very much for contributing this morning. So Star 6, anybody else, love to hear your thoughts.
Morning, Todd.
Good morning.
This is Mark from Maine.
Hey, Mark from Maine. Great to hear you this morning.
Yes. Hey, sorry I missed your seminar the other night, but this is really there's much wisdom in counsel, and we do definitely have to be careful who we bring into our counsel or what wisdom we need and knowledge we need. But often we heard of stories where children to have imaginary friends that they would talk to, and maybe they weren't so far off. we can talk to ourselves, definitely, but this working of our minds and subconscious is just something that we need to practice. And because it was never taught to us growing up, I know I've never heard anything of the sort, and that's what I appreciate so much about these calls and learning so much, that we limit ourselves because we don't expand our thinking, we don't seek wisdom, we don't seek education and thought and on how to use our thoughts and how to use our minds. Such a valuable tool that we have. And yes, there's been great men throughout the ages that I would appreciate having counsel with in order to move forward and become the person that God wants me to be and allow me to help others and be an instructor and pass this information on, because, you know, we're only one generation away from losing out any kind of teaching on any kind of thought and process of this, like this here, is now we're in such the information age where some of the children are growing. The only thing they know how to do is play video games, and They don't know how to think. They don't know how to expand their imagination, and they don't know how to. I mean, I remember growing up on a farm there in Pennsylvania, and I would spend hours just walking around the fields. And I remember we used to have a pinto pony, and I acted like I was, you know, a Geronimo or somebody, because they rode painted ponies. And so it's a shame that we don't allow our children, and they're suppressed into sitting inside and watching videos and playing video games all the time. But to get out and to expand our imagination and to think for ourselves and use our minds that we have. So it's just a powerful thing here that we're studying. Back to you, Todd.
Mark, thank you very much for those very wise comments. Really appreciate them. You really said some really incredible things there. You know, you have to be careful who you bring into your council. Very, very important thing that you said. And, you know, isn't it amazing with something else that you said, how children have their own imaginary council, you know, and when, you know, they're maybe playing with their little teddy bear. And, I mean, isn't it amazing how, you know, when we were so young and innocent, where we didn't have this influx of other people's opinions that went into our minds, and watching TV and having advertising and the world starting to program our minds, how our minds instinctually went to the thought process of talking to imaginary people. Isn't that quite amazing? I'd like to know when we lost that. It's amazing. I think sometimes we lose it when we grow up. And then, of course, you know, you said something also, you know, which is important, is you need to practice these things. Mark, very wise. You know, right, we were never taught this. You know, we do limit ourselves. We don't know how to think. That's why we read this book. That's why I've read this book dozens and dozens of times. So, Mark, very, very profound thoughts. Really appreciate you contributing this morning. Thanks again. Star 6, unmute your line. Love to hear your comments about this chapter.
Good morning, Todd. This is Jane in Florida.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Love to hear you when you're on, and thank you, Mark, for those great comments. One of the things that I realized is I was brought up by, and in my family, there isn't one person who doesn't have sense. And therefore, I was brought up knowing how this, that it exists and that it is truth. A lot of people in my life, all my parents have passed and such, and when I have friends and family, when I think of them, I know they're visiting me. I know that thought is out there. I know that essence is out there. And to learn how brings about by the great people is very inspiring for me. I understand and have studied cause and effect and the power of thought. And to be on this call every day has just been magnificent for me. I get ideas and I try to sabotage myself, and for some odd reason, and I know what it is, I keep coming back. I keep trying to get out of that self-sabotage because I know how great this whole thing is. I understand it in my mind, working to get it in my heart. And you are inspiring every day. And everybody who I listen to has inspired me, and I thank you for that, and I look forward to keeping on keeping on. Back to you, Todd.
Judy, thank you very much for those very wise comments. Very nice of you. And, you know, you said something that really is something I think that we all go through, and that is our minds. You know, when we start to, you know, we're practitioners of this book and practitioners of our minds. And, you know, a lot of times our minds, you know how sometimes, you know, you watch TV and you see TV shows and you see this little angel that pops up on one shoulder and the devil pops up on another shoulder. And that's, you know, that's the universe talking to us. And, you know, parts of our mind are always trying to sabotage what it is, these thoughts that come into our mind. And it's important to practice to not let, you know, your own dominating thoughts to keep you from moving forward to rebuilding your mind. So, Judy, that's a very fantastic thing that you're practicing in your life, and that is to not let your own mind sabotage yourself with your new rebuilding of your mind. And I can assure you, I used to do the same thing. I think we all went through this. I think we all still go through this to a point. And on a daily, and you know what? You have to do it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And that is just to tell your mind, this is not happening. I am not going to sabotage myself. You know, my mind thinks beautiful, clear thoughts. My brain is moving forward. And you put this in your self-confidence formula, which is part of your major definite purpose. So I congratulate you and applaud you for being a practitioner of the mind and helping your mind to move forward and help to rebuild your mind. So thank you very much for contributing. Star 6, next call.
Todd, this is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, Frank, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I was just thinking about the comments that you just made and how you really helped me out this week by making sure that we write down our definite purposes and we write down our affirmations. Anything that we actually have them written down so that we can engage more senses than just the eyes, and make sure we repeat those any time that we have a stray doubt, because it took a long time for our brains to get like this, our minds to get like this. So it could take a long time to get back to where we're constantly thinking about the right thing all the time. So we have to keep those affirmations next to us and repeat them as often as we need to. Thanks. Back to you, Todd.
Thank you, Frank, my friend, and very important. Absolutely writing down your major definite purpose and your self-confidence formula and repeating it on a daily basis. I personally, I read my major definite purpose and self-confidence formula. I'll tell you, I read it in the morning as soon as I get up. I read it at lunchtime while I'm eating lunch. A lot of times I'll read it throughout the day. It doesn't take long. It only takes a few minutes. And I definitely read it right before I go to bed at night. So appreciate your comments, Frank. Thank you very much. If you've already commented, if you can do me a favor, just go ahead and hit star 6 to mute your phone. And star 6 also to mute your phone. Love to hear your thoughts on this chapter.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Melvin.
Yeah, there's a if everybody can just imagine this in their mind that, we used to see this little drawing when we were younger, but think about a devil being on one of your shoulders and the angel being on the other. And actually what takes place is by our choosing, knowingly or unknowingly, we can choose to feed one. And the one that we feed will grow. And the one that we do not feed, it will start starving away. And so we're the ones who are actually making those choices of which of these elements that we're bringing in out of the ether. And we can really cause one to become so powerful in our lives, and the other one to actually disappear by our own choosing. And there's a lot of people that are sick and ill and disturbed that actually chose to be that way based on what I'm sharing right now with you by their choosing. Back to you, Todd.
Melvin, thank you very much for that very true comment. Very wise. Choosing to feed one or the other. What a very smart, very intelligent, very wise thing to say. And also to starve away out of the ether. Very wise line. And that's exactly what people need to do on a daily basis when these negative and positive thoughts come into our mind. You know, you have to extrapolate, these thoughts that come into our mind. You know, a lot of people call these things coincidences or, you know, sometimes, haven't you ever wondered why that when you get thoughts during the day that, you're like, wow, where did that come from? Okay, well, that came from the ether. That came from the universe. And, Melvin, you really described it perfectly. Thank you so much for those comments. Star 6, love to hear your comments.
Good morning, Mr. Todd Nuclear Young.
Good morning, Mr. Mindset Marty Kuzel.
Phenomenal job today.
Thank you, sir.
That's fantastic of you picking up the slack when Paul asked you at a drop of a hat. You know, I was listening to you read the chapter, and what I could relate to is the one where interpretation where you want to actually get a new circle of influence and be around positive thinking people that will change your positive outlook. Because if you want to be successful, you need to hang around with those successful people. Therefore, eventually you will be successful. And what happens to you then is you become a lightning rod or a magnet to attract more successful people who want you in their circle of influence, therefore making them stronger people and more positive reinforcement as well. And they don't even realize it's happening to them. So by you surrounding yourself with more successful people, there's no way that you're not going to become successful yourself. Therefore, being a magnet and attracting other successful people that want you in their circle of influence where they wouldn't want you wanted you there before. So I believe that's becoming part of that oak tree that you had mentioned. You know, surround yourself with more successful people, and before long, you won't even realize that the changes are taking place. It just happens. So just be consistent in what you're doing. And just try to always do your best and always portray a positive outlook. And whether it's today is Friday the 13th or not, it's just another day to us to impact somebody's life in a positive way. So, once again, phenomenal job. Everybody on the call, just keep the comments coming. I'm sure they help everybody. They certainly help me. Back to you.
Marty, thank you very much for those very, very wise comments. And isn't it amazing that this is Friday the 13th? Are you kidding me? This, to me, is an extremely lucky day. It really is. You know, I've never been superstitious. Never even, you know, when I was younger, truly, I used to, you know, hear people go, don't walk under the ladder. You know, that is just, come on, give me a break. Don't walk. Don't break that mirror. You're going to get 7 years of bad luck. Well, you know what? That came from the person that just bought that mirror. That thing's expensive. Be careful with it. That's really the reality of it. That's what they're trying to do. Don't walk underneath that ladder. Well, you know what? I hold material underneath this ladder. There's a bucket of paint, you know, just in case it spills. Don't want to get paint on your head. Don't walk under the ladder. Are you kidding me? I mean, this really, superstition really is something, folks, you've got to get out of your mind. I mean, they're really, you know, and again, a lot of your thoughts and beliefs are so ingrained and hardened that, you know, it's almost, to some people, literally to a degree, impossible to get the superstition out of your mind. And you got to work so hard at it. But it's not impossible. It's not. And then once you start, you know, rebuilding your mind to knowing that there really is no such thing as superstition, there really is not. Folks, your brain is going to so move forward in such an incredible way. Just like Marty, you know, you got to be consistent in your thoughts. And when you're consistent in your thoughts, something that Melvin said as well, you either choose to feed one or the other. It really is. You're going to either choose to feed superstition or you're going to choose to feed your invisible counselors that you have that let you know that the ether is out there and that you can rebuild your mind. Marty, thank you very much for those thoughts.
Not a problem, Todd. And, you know, also, if people know you're superstitious, they can also prey on that and try to manipulate you as well into thinking and doing what they want you to. So it's just another form of you just becoming your own person and being strong and being positive.
Yeah, very good thought, Marty. Do you know that the superstitious economic world is in the billions of dollars? And if you don't think so, go onto eBay and go put superstitious products in. And there's just so many of them. Carrying a rabbit's foot. Can you imagine carrying a rabbit? What are you carrying a rabbit's foot for? Take that thing off your keychain right now. That's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. Marty, very, very good point. Absolutely. The world, does prey on people that are superstitious. Absolutely fantastic thought. Star 6, love to hear your comments on this absolutely fantastic chapter.
Hello, Todd. Bill here.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Over the last couple of days, several subjects have kind of tied together. Excuse me. And one was a situation of a mastermind group and how beneficial that can be about minds actually coming together and communicating with each other nonverbally. And then we got into the sixth sense, and which is an extra thought. But I was listening to a program by Michio Kaku. I don't know whether y'all know who he is. He's a theoretical physicist. And his object in life is to prove Einstein's theory of everything. And he's also co-author of what's called the string theory. Now, in the string theory, it says that if two electrons are attached to each other, that they will move together. And if you move them apart, or any information apart, normally you would think that it would start moving at their own vibration. But he said that there is an invisible string through the ether that ties these two together, and they still vibrate at the same frequency. So what this, and they've proven this in that they've taken and moved stuff across country and compared this movement against the speed of light. And the movement, the string movement, is faster than the speed of light. And so that's another thing where you find Einstein. But the real thing here is that when we put ourselves in the ether, so to speak, and we generate thoughts, or we look for answers to our thoughts, that those thoughts are out there, and they're on a string, and they're vibrating. And when we get on the same string that they're on, then that information is available to us. And I think that's what's happening in a mastermind group, is that we're each putting out thoughts on a string. And as that string attaches to different people, and in some cases, even if we go back to Franklin and Lincoln and everything, their information is still out there, and we receive it on that string. So I think that the question of telepathy and this ether thought process is completely valid, and it's something we can't deny. The main thing is that we take advantage of it, and that's one of the things when we have our dominant purpose and we read that, we're transmitting that out, and it will be answered. Somebody out there else is listening, and it will be answered. And so we gain strength the more we repeat that activity. That's kind of my thought for the day. Thank you.
Bill, wow, very profound in what you just said. Nichio Kaku is absolutely one of my favorite theoretical physicists, and of course I just love Into the Universe and all those science, you know, it's on the Science Channel. Mm-hmm. You know, I have them on my Netflix, and you know, I tell you that what you just said, you know, which is very profound, you know, with being in a mastermind group, you know, see, to me, you know, being in a mastermind group is not necessarily, and again, I've been studying, you know, theoretical physics for a very long time, and I've read this book, Think and Grow Rich, well over probably about, you know, 80 times now, and listened to the audio recording well over 100, probably even 200, I don't know, because I listen to it while I work out a lot. And, you know, to me, it's the ether out there. It's not just my imaginary counselors, but it's actually the universe itself. You know, through string theory with what you mentioned was, you know, just imagine, folks, that when we were younger, we took two, you know, little Dixie cups and we put a hole down at the bottom of it, and then we put a string in between both those cups, and you can communicate from one cup to the other. You know, you'd scream in one cup, and you could talk really low so nobody could hear you, and then the person on the other end of the string could hear what was you were saying, but nobody else in the room could. And, you know, that theory, that, you know, that really, that physical act of doing that is the universe itself. And, you know, you said something really profound, is that when we're looking for the answers, they are out there on a string, and it attaches to people. Bill, very wise thing to say, and it is my belief that through science and through the application of doing that throughout my entire life, that, folks, when you do ask the infinite intelligence a question, that answer will come to you. And it's amazing how scientists are now tying together through fact and through mathematical science. And these theoretical physics really, you know, really doesn't turn theoretical anymore, especially when you have these things that are physically happening to you in your life by having answers come back to you to the questions that you have of the universe. So, Bill, very profound, you know, thoughts, you know, right on target, and do very much appreciate your comments this morning.
You know, Michio has a radio program every Saturday evening for about 3 hours. Where he interviews different people, and it's really rewarding to listen to him. Man, thank you.
You are very welcome. That's interesting. I didn't know that he had a radio show. Gosh, now my wife's going to be, she's going to go, oh my gosh, you know, more. Now, my wife knows that I love to read. My wife loves, you know, knows that I just love knowledge. I mean, I thirst so much for knowledge that it's almost like that if a couple hours goes by, you know, it's like drinking a glass of water. But I tell you, something that I don't do in my life is I just don't store knowledge. I use it. I apply it. And so through the understanding of the universe and the understanding of having science, you know, applied to what's going on in the universe, it makes you a better person. It makes you a more aware person with which to how to work with people and how to treat people. And you know what? When you really truly care, you know, when you understand the world, you're going to be more of a compassionate person. You're going to be more of an understanding person. You're going to care about people more. You're not going to be so egotistical. Instead of that person, you know, wanting to get in front of you on the highway and you cutting them off, you're going to let them in. It's those really simple things that how the universe, you know, brings these things back to you. And, you know, we call that, you know, the karma, you know, and dharma. And look those things up, by the way, and understand what they are, because, you know, what you put out into the universe is kind of come back to you tenfold. And that is just, in my life, has been to be absolute fact. So, Bill, thank you again very much for those very profound thoughts. Star 6, love to hear your comments.
Hey, Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Fred. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. I'd like to relate a story. Good morning to you and all the group. I'd like to relate a story that I can identify with Frank from Delaware and Marty, Mr. Marty, regarding an internet so-called guru who I'm on his autoresponder list. I follow what he writes. I'm not in his program or anything like that. But his guy is very well. He's very learned, and he puts out very good content. And my boxing instructor also said this. And what I got from this chapter today is about surrendering your mind and why would you ever do that. And it's very profound because everything plays off of that. You know, think about it. People surrender their mind because they're programmed and conditioned, and it goes back to, you know, reprogramming and surrendering ourselves to this group to think in a higher level and a better way. But in general, most people surrender their minds, which has a domino effect on your entire life, including your physical self, your exercise, surrendering yourself to the TV, distractions. It all plays on every. It's so deep that I don't even know if I can explain it properly, because Todd, you could probably explain it better. It goes to every core of your personal matter, yourself, and leads to everything else as far as your decision. You know, surrendering your mind leads to maybe, you know, poor decisions eating-wise, poor decisions, distractions, all your places that you end up in. And those might not be the ideal choices for everybody, but it also might be the reverse. It might lead to not surrendering your mind and being on the Think and Grow Rich call to be on a higher level and to, you know, you understand what I'm saying. And for me, it just plays, that is my number one and major definite purpose and my number one goal. And I read that and I say it out loud probably thousands of times a day. It's like the kid from the Little Rascals learn that poem when he's just repeating that over and over again. I just say out loud to myself, no matter where I am, you know, don't surrender your mind. Don't surrender your mind. Thank you.
Fred, very profound in your thinking, and absolutely, our thoughts and our actions definitely do have a domino effect or a trickle-down effect in our life, and that's why it's important to make the right decisions in your life, whether they be physical or whether they be mental. You know, what you just said reminds me of a movie called Sliding Doors. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it, but real quickly I'll say that, you know, in the very beginning of the movie, there's an actress that is walking down the steps going into a subway in New York. And she, you know, walks down this subway, she gets on this train, and, you know, she comes home and she, you know, finds, you know, actually the beginning of the movie, actually she bumps into this young kid, and she, you know, falls, you know, drops everything on the steps, and she goes to catch her train and she misses it. Well, the next train comes and she goes home and she finds, you know, her husband at home, and she has this really miserable life. You know, just her husband doesn't treat her well, and just, you know, it's just a really negative situation. Well, about a third of the way through the movie, it really goes back to the beginning of the movie, and you show her coming downstairs, and this kid that she almost, that in the beginning of the movie that she ran into, she doesn't run into him. She catches the train and comes home and actually finds her husband cheating with another woman. She leaves him and goes on to be an extremely wealthy woman. And, you know, the point of the movie is it's amazing that what happens to us in our life, whether it be physical or mental, has a true impact and a domino effect, Fred, with what you're talking about in our life. And that's why it's important that you can have that happen to you right now. You can participate in this movie yourself in the physical world right now by saying to yourself, hey, you know what, I understand that movie. I understand that something happened to this lady where at the very beginning she missed that train. She didn't catch her husband cheating on her. And she went on to live this life as a, you know, as a homemaker, and he held her down from, you know, going forward in her career. And she was extremely unhappy, and he wound up leaving her anyway later on in life. And didn't get a chance to experience that wonderful life of abundance and riches and happiness and bliss in her life, that a third of the way through the movie, you know, she doesn't run into this young kid going down the steps. She goes and catches a train, finds her husband, you know, cheating on her, and she says, no way, I'm not going to let that happen to me in my life. Goes forward with her career. That is a domino effect, and your thoughts that you have in your mind and in the physical world do absolutely have a domino effect. And you know what? When you're going down the road, you see a split in the road. It's like, hey, do you go left or do you go right? Well, guess what? That's where your imaginary counselors come in. Go ahead and ponder that thought. Think about that. You know what? Sit in your chair. You know, we call it meditate, but think about it. Think about, you know, hey, you know, ask your invisible counselors what is the wise decision of the road to go down, because you do have decisions. The decisions that you make in your life determine where you go in your life, and the decisions and the thoughts that you have in your mind now have certainly gotten you to where you are today. So, Fred, appreciate you contributing. Great thoughts. Star 6, love to hear your thoughts.
Hey, Todd.
Yes.
You know, something that ties into what you're saying there, and I tell people oftentimes that I never have a bad day, and I explain to them how you can have only two kinds of days, and that's a good day or a great day. A great day is when everything goes right, and, you know, everything, you know, it's just a regular day. Your appreciation of life makes it a great day. But a good day is when things go wrong. You had a car accident, or the house caught on fire, or those end up being good days because of how you deal with what happened. And it's not what happens that you let take the control, but your attitude and how you handle it, and how relaxed you are, or how patient, or what you do to challenge yourself to grow from it. So in essence, you've turned what most of us would call a bad day into a good day based on your attitude toward it, how you dealt with it, how you handled it. And in the process, you've eliminated bad days out of your life altogether. And that just gives a person a whole new kind of power over one's own life. Back to you, Todd.
Melvin, thank you very much. You know, what an important thing that you just said, you know, having that appreciation of life, you know, that really, that appreciation of life and that vibration that you put out into the world of gratitude for even just being here and existing. I probably say that 30 times a day. I mean, it's just, I catch myself saying it all the time. Thank you for, you know, my creator for letting me exist in this world. And I really am extremely grateful. I think that if you look at the odds of your physical host and your body being here on this planet, the numbers are astronomical. They really are. And, you know, and also in how you deal with what happens, you know, the Chinese symbol for crisis is also opportunity. And, you know, they, you know, in the Art of War, Sun Tzu, you know, talks about how, you know, in battle, a lot of times, you know, run to live to fight another day. And so, you know, that philosophy of retreat, you know, some people would see as a negative thing, but actually it's a battle tactic. And, you know, who wants to get killed when you're overwhelmed with numbers? And so when we have bad situations in our life, you know, you have to retreat your mind for just a moment so you can sit back and look at what has occurred and then get back up. Yep. You know, Melvin, what an important thing. Get back up. You know, it's your attitude towards these situations that really make who you are to move forward in life and to help rebuild your mind. So very, very beautiful comment, very wise what you just said. Star 6, love to hear your thoughts.
Yes.
Good morning, Todd. It's Lindy from Oklahoma.
Lindy, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. You know, I love the chapter on the sixth sense. You know, Judy expressed how she was raised in a family that knew this, and I was fortunate enough to also be raised in a family that was...
Oh, hey, Lindy, hold on a second. Hey, if you've already spoken, there's somebody else talking on the line, please do me a favor and star 6 and mute your phone, please, because we can hear you.
Check my blood.
Lindy, go ahead. Hey, Lindy, hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lindy, do me a favor, please, and just go ahead and hit star 6 and unmute yourself, please. Hey, Lindy, go ahead and star 6, unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
I sure can, Lindy. Thank you so much.
Okay. Let's see, where was I?
You talked about Judy down in Florida, something she said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My family has always been connected like that. In fact, I was talking to her the other day, and I told her, you know, in our family, we always had to call each other when someone had a birthday to see what we were getting that person, or they would end up with four of the same thing. It happened so many times. We just knew it was going to happen, and so we just, you know, took precautions from it. But you know... A lot of what they're talking about here and changing your character through autosuggestion and studying these great people that are in our life now or from history and having that opportunity to choose who we're going to be, that is just so empowering because when it comes down to it, the only real control we have is over that person in the mirror. So I just love everybody on this call. I love being a part of this. And, you know, for so many years, I felt like a lone soul on an island because I was different than the people that were in my immediate life. But it did not stop me from, you know, learning and growing and seeking. It's just I had to do it by myself. But how much more empowering and what a higher level of understanding I'm coming to because of these mastermind calls and, you know, listening to the concepts and the experiences of all of you out there. It is just incredible. And I feel so grateful that we've all come together and everything happens the way it's supposed to when it's supposed to. And, you know, you talk about things that happen in life, and the people that choose not to think and just let life happen to them are like sailing their ships without a rudder. And when storms come, oh my gosh, everything's just turned upside down. Because we are aware and because we are choosing and we are learning and we're growing, we have that rudder. And when those storms come, we just hold on to that rudder that much harder. And we get through those storms and we learn through these experiences. You know, every time I go to a store and, you know, people are in line and, you know, they get impatient and frustrated and inevitably something happens. There has to be a price check or they got to call a manager and wait. And the poor, you know, checkout person is just flustered, and it makes them even slower because they're so flustered. And I always tell them, you know, just, it's okay. This right here is stopping us from being out there 1 minute sooner. And we never know what we're avoiding because we had a little delay. So, you know, I think it was it Melvin who said, you know, the things that happen in life are all for a reason. And these are for a reason, too. We never know what we avoided by being somewhere 1 minute later than we would have before. So it's all about how your attitude through these things that lets you grow to another level. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. I love you all. Back to you, Todd.
Lindy, thank you very much for those incredible comments. And, isn't it so funny? You know, my family, you made me chuckle because my family does absolutely the same thing. I guess the older you get, the more birthdays you experience with everybody else in the family, you know. But it seems like in my family, we actually get together about every 2 months, and we actually celebrate like two or three or four people's birthdays at the same time because there's so many of them. And it made me chuckle because my sister and my brother and my mom and my, brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, we all get together on the phone. It's like, oh, we need to get so-and-so. It's so funny because we do. How many times have we gotten the same present for somebody in the family, you know, one of the kids? And it is so funny. That is very true. But, you know, you said something, you know, profound, and that is changing our character through auto-suggestion. I mean, absolutely, auto-suggestion is really one of the keys that you must be consistent with rebuilding your mind. And we absolutely do have the opportunity to choose. And you know what? Looking at that person in the mirror, that is you. And this industry and this business that we're in, it is absolutely you. You are the factor that is going to determine your success. And we are constantly learning, growing, and seeking. Absolutely very wise, Lindy. Thank you very much for those beautiful comments and very, very wise comments. And I do also love being on this mastermind call to be a part of this mastermind group where we discuss on a daily basis, what it is that's going on in our business and our mind. So we have a couple minutes left. Star 6, love to hear your thoughts.
Hey, Todd, this is Mark again.
Mark.
This has been loaded. Every call has just been loaded with great information and great knowledge and wisdom, and it's just amazing. But back to what a couple were saying about the little guy on the right shoulder and one on the left, and I know it looks kind of comical, but it's very true. There is a war going on for our minds. The forces of evil want to drag us down, and it's a constant battle. Every day we have to be, by practicing thinking our thoughts, good thoughts, and studying whatever we need to keep our minds on track. We have to renew our mind every day because there are good and evil that wants to that are fighting over our minds and our thoughts. And it's when we practice thinking good thoughts and we move ahead and keep moving and keeping focus on what our aim and goal in life is, then the tug from the evil side isn't going to be as great. And that's just right along with what everybody else is saying. But I've seen that too. We don't have television here at home, but when I was growing up, I had television, and I see it once in a while, and I have to stay in a hotel in my travels. And, yeah, it, it looks comical. They try to make it comical on television, that, but it's so much true that there is a war for our minds and our thoughts, so that we have to be good soldiers and good practitioners and just keep moving ahead. So I just thought I'd add that. Thank you.
Mark, what a fantastic way with very profound thoughts to end this phone call. There is a war going on, folks, constantly. It's outside of our minds, which is influencing our receiving station. And it's also constantly going on in our minds, you know, in and out of our minds, our receiving station that we have. And see, you know what, where we are today is as a result of our thoughts and our beliefs and what has come into our senses through our eyes, through our ears, through our minds and what we feel. And, you know, you have to think good thoughts, keeping our minds on track. Absolutely, Mark, very profound thought and very, very true. You know, on a daily basis, we battle everything that it is that we do with our minds. And there are so many distractions in life every day. I mean, you turn on your computer to read your email. There's advertising all over the place. You see all this bad news of, something happened to this person. And there's floods all across the world, or, you know, the stock market. Oh, my God. And the price of all, folks, you've got to get rid of those distractions, and you've got to learn to rebuild your mind. And really have that shield around your mind to where you're like horse blinders. You're only letting the good stuff in, and you have to extrapolate what the bad stuff is and absolutely take it out. And, Mark, what a beautiful, fitting way to end this call, to let everybody know that there is an absolute war going on in our minds and outside of our minds, which we call the outside influences. And you know what, folks? Think happy thoughts. Just like when you were a child and you heard it, think happy thoughts. Think positive thoughts every day. I also want to thank Mr. Paul Hutchings for allowing me to be the moderator on this call. And just so fitting being the day that it is today and with this chapter of our invisible counselors, which when I first met Paul, I talked about my invisible counselors to him, and you know, which helped me to guide me every minute of every day throughout my life, and talk to my invisible counselors every day. So I again want to thank Mr. Paul Hutchings for again allowing me to be here and talk with all of you and to speak with all of you and also to get your thoughts and your beliefs on this chapter. And I love being a part of this mastermind group, everybody. This mastermind group is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This mastermind group started with just a few people, over a couple years ago. And it's grown to hundreds of people that get on this phone call every day. And it's growing. I told Paul, I see a time where, you know, he's going to have to get probably another conference line because this call is growing so much and evolving into something that is just absolutely, truly epic and amazing. So I want everybody to go out and have a phenomenal weekend. I want you to go out and have a mind-provoking weekend and start to develop your invisible counselors. Write them down, who you want them to be, the greatest people in your life, successful people that were in your life, whether they be family members or somebody that you read a book about, and make these people a part of your daily life. Everybody of this Think and Grow Rich Mastermind group, I love you. I appreciate you. I am grateful for being on this call, and I want everybody to go out and have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much. Look forward to hearing from you and listening to Paul Hutchings on the Monday call. Have a great weekend, everybody.